Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is one of our favorite guests, Father Gerald Horan. Father, welcome back to our show.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be with you.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about evangelization and some of the things that you not only learned at a conference recently, but some of the things we're talking about in the diocese. But before we get started, as we always do, would you mind please opening us with a word of prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Lord our God, indeed you have given forth your Son, the Word made flesh, as a light to the nations and as a gift of transforming love to our world. Help us to receive that word, to breathe and speak that word, to live that word in a way that invites others to find both meaning and hope in the community of faith. We pray your blessing upon all who participate in the church's mission of evangelization, and we pray that we might enrich the world by proclaiming the word that he has entrusted to us. And this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father.
And then in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, Father, your position as Episcopal Vicar for Education, essentially, what's the actual title for it?
Episcopal Vicar for Faith Formation.
Faith Formation, which covers five different departments that essentially center around catechesis, education, and the formation of faith.
Exactly. Each one of the departments that I'm involved in is involved in somehow nurturing and directing people in their growth in the faith. And those departments in the diocese include Catholic schools, parish faith formation or religious education, youth and young adult ministry, the Institute for Pastoral Ministry, which assists and strengthens people who want to be involved in church leadership and ministries, and finally, university chaplaincies.
Okay, so you've got, pardon the expression, of this mega position because you've got all these people who are focused on one of the most important aspects of Catholic ministry, and that's the formation of our souls, the formation of our faith, especially amongst young people.
And it's great work.
And it's great work. But it also means that there are times where you need to stay abreast of what's going on in the world, and you had the opportunity to take I won't call it a pilgrimage, but it almost sounds the way you were describing it, as some transformative experiences in a conference that you recently attended regarding evangelization. Tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Yeah, the conference that I went to was called SEEK, S-E-E-K, SEEK 2017. And you might remember a few shows back, we spoke with the Young Focus missionaries, and this Focus, meaning the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and the national offices of Focus were the sponsors of this SEEK conference, and all of the, they're represented in more than 110 or 20 universities nationwide.
So and this is primarily then a university-aged group of people, and they're focused on that.
Exactly.
For evangelism.
And each Focus mission or setting is charged with recruiting young people to attend this biannual conference. And our Focus missionaries here in the Diocese of Orange brought 50 participants from Cal State Fullerton and about
That's
another 12 from UCI.
Wow.
And it's particularly a lot because they've only been working in the diocese 3 years, and to get that many young people who were willing to make both the financial and time sacrifice of commitment to go all the way to San Antonio, Texas for a whole week is very impressive. But the conference when I got there in San Antonio had over 13,000 young participants.
Wow, that's and a lot of people.
The numbers were amazing. And I've thrown some of my favorite statistics at you previously. You know,
well, let's hear them again, because our audience may not remember what we talked about two months ago.
and I'm sure the participants change from time to time, but we hear that in the church in general, only 30% of those who were raised Catholic are still practicing their faith. That was a quote from Sherry Waddell, the author of Forming Intentional Disciples. And another study, a Pew study in 2009, said that of that 70% who will leave the Catholic faith, 80% of them are doing it by the time they're 23. So what those stats are saying to me is that the age group we're talking about, the college age group, are not interested in religion. And that's very disheartening, because obviously that age is the next generation in the church. That's the church of tomorrow. And
Say that statistic again. You said by age what? Most of our people, 80% of our...
So if the first statistic said that 70% are going to leave the church.
Which is
And
huge.
Of that 70% who will leave the church, 80% of those will make that decision by the time they're 23.
So by the time they leave college or shortly thereafter, if you're going to leave the Catholic Church, you've left it. Either in your mind or physically, you've left the church and you're done. And it's not just college, you're saying before that age.
That's right. If we have not engaged them by the time they're 23, 80% of them are probably going to opt out. That's why it's so tremendous and was so exciting to me to attend this conference, where there were 13,000 young people of the age group that all the stats are telling us are so disengaged and disappeared. It was really energizing to be in a place where that kind of faith life was going on. And they weren't just club members or anything like that. They were college kids who were just interested in deepening their faith, learning a little bit more. And I suppose some of them were thinking that San Antonio might be a good time. I personally thought it was a little too cold, but I think a couple of the days, the thermometer on my telephone was telling me it was about 21 degrees.
Yeah, I'll take the Diocese of Orange any day.
So. Yeah, then they ought to have the conference here. I think
so. That would
be
good. Yeah. You've got the facilities for it. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a millennial who is involved in youth ministry, and she was saying that the conversations that she's had with her friends, especially those who have gone to a Catholic university and have taken their faith seriously, that there's two major groups within the millennials, this young generation, but all of them have something in common. They're searching for meaning, and that has resulted in many leaving in order to find meaning elsewhere, but a resurgence of almost a conservative swing into a deeper embrace of Catholic faith and embracing some of those conservative things that a lot of people moved away from right after Vatican II, re-embracing them not out of any kind of a negativity, but as out of a positivity. For example, some of the theology and philosophy associated with something as maligned as the veil, which when viewed as a symbol of the bride of Christ, for some young millennial girls, their mothers are saying, well, I'm not wearing that, but the girls are saying, but I like the symbolism. It reminds me of how special I am to Christ. And they're moving in that direction. I'm thrilled to hear that you had 13,000.
Oh, it was amazing. And there were also, I would say, between 300 and 400 priests there, and a whole another population of religious women and brothers, because and a large part of the conference actually focused at the end toward the importance of vocational choices. And so there was a strong invitation to these young people to consider that deeper call. As you say, of the millennials, you know, the whole spiritual but not religious trend, many of them are not quite ready to trust institutions. I'll believe in God, and I believe he's there and he's taking care of me. But, you know, I'm not ready to trust the institution or to participate in its rules. And so that's why it is really remarkable to see a large population of these young people engaged. You know, the masses, most of them were led by archbishops from across the nation. The masses, especially with that number of priests celebrating, they were an hour and a half at the shortest. And
sure,
these young people were participating with lively fervor.
There was full participation of the laity of the Mass.
That was great, yes.
I love those kinds of gatherings, and that sounds like one of the largest I've heard described, especially one that was focused primarily on young people. When we come back, I want us to talk a little bit more in detail about what you learned at this conference, not just its description. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Father Gerald Horan. And we're talking about evangelization and how we go about doing that in the Catholic Church. We'll be right back.
Oh, Jesus, I want to tell all little souls how indescribable is your love.
Meet Saint Therese, the little flower, in a live performance that speaks to all ages.
I will send down a shower of roses.
Experience Therese, the story of a soul, a powerful live production.
See it at Christ Cathedral's Fried Theater in Garden Grove. Three performances only. January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Visit ccdramaseries.com for tickets and information. That's ccdramaseries.com. The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, where Catholic faith is crystal clear, although the day that we're recording is a day of rain. The skies aren't as clear, but the Catholic faith is. We're here with Father Gerald Horan, who is deeply involved in faith formation in our diocese and recently attended a conference where 13,000 young people, college-aged, had gathered from around the nation in order to discuss strategies, ideas, motivations, trajectories, how to go about doing evangelization. And Father, I'd like to ask you, what did you learn from that conference that kind of made you notice, wow, that's good? What did you hear that was good?
Oh, there were really, I was very impressed with the input of the conference. And actually, a lot of it, the part that the younger people were involved in, was not so much toward how they should evangelize, but really just the straight talk of what does spirituality mean to me, what are the basics of spirituality. And a lot of the conferences took the message of the gospel right down to the level of experience of a college student. And it was kind of straight talk about it. There was a Sister Bethany Madonna. She's from New York. I think it's the Sisters for Life that they are. And their community is particularly focused on abortion and abortion-related decisions. And she gave very moving testimony about some of the situations that she has dealt with and the struggle that young people often are faced with in moral decision making. I was also surprised that in this conference, they took the group, again, remember it was 13,000, but they had several sessions where men went to talk with a male speaker and women went to speak with female speakers, because part of what they were saying was that really grappling with sexual issues and identity issues is key. One of the conferences for priests dealt with the prevalence of pornography and pornographic addiction in the world today. And they were saying that if very too frequently children are exposed at a very young age to sexual input that's not helpful to them. And so some of the priest sessions were focused upon how some of the church's teachings and the prevalence of pornography addiction out there creates a difficult context for making the gospel heard. But I was really surprised that they split up young people by gender, but they had some very down-to-earth talks about what it is to be a guy and what it is to be a woman and what those roles mean and where do they come from. There's another one. I'm just looking at the title in my program here, How I Found Truth as an Atheist. There was a particularly energetic priest from Minnesota named Father Mike Schmitz, and he really just talked about how to be a spiritual people, a person. No, not a big agenda, but the man could talk faster than I can think, but he was, it was very rapid fire.
That's pretty fast.
but he was really entertaining and yet challenging, you know.
Okay. So the messages that you're hearing are that young people are concerned about how they're perceived and how they perceive their role in life gender-wise and what their role in life will be, therefore, with other people in their lives, significant others and the like.
Yeah, and that wasn't the whole thing, but that was a bigger piece of the content than I expected. But there were also sessions about scripture, sessions about the Mass. Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia gave a talk, How to Be a Bridge and Not an Obstacle.
It sounds like there was a lot of backfill. Our society in the last few years has really raised questions, and the millennials were deeply enmeshed in this. They, in fact, probably can't remember a time when it wasn't questioned about what it is to be a man or what it is to be a woman. From a Christian perspective, I'm glad they were able to cover some of that. What is it to be a man of God or a woman of God, and how do we use that as a positive thing? I mean, we've got a lot of male shaming right now in our society. If you're a man and you like manly things, that's almost a negativity. You may as well be a Neanderthal and crawl under your rock. And to have masculinity from a truly Catholic perspective, Jesus Christ is the ultimate man. How can we be like Christ? And if Mary is the ultimate feminist, how can we be more like Mary? Those are things that take some of the traditions out of it for a moment. What does it mean to really do that? What a fascinating meditation that would have been for those young people.
Oh, for sure. And a lot of things that your adult Catholic might take for granted because they grew up in the faith and they know their faith inside out is not natural to this younger generation. Many of them grew up with parents who were not well catechized in the faith or who didn't teach about it or speak it to them at home. They expected their religious ed program to provide it. There are others who really never had any more religious education than First Communion prep. And so there's a lot of basic Catholic Christianity that isn't known to them. And so some of these sessions, one of them spoke about poverty in the world and missionary outreach that these people can do. Another one on discernment and these many issues and some not religious issues at all, addiction and drugs, alcoholism, the real problems that young people are likely to encounter as they go out into the world. And yet all of it had the thread together or running through it that called them back to Christ, the decision to follow Christ, the decision to be Catholic and to find meaning and hope in what the church is teaching and how the church lives its sacramental life.
These don't sound like what we would call checkbox Catholics.
No.
We had a few weeks ago, as you mentioned, some of our focus ministers in here. And these young people, the ones we brought in, are the ones that serve at Cal State Fullerton and at UC Irvine. And they are in amongst the people. They get to know the people. It's purely relational. And they are involved not so much in creating activities, though activities are there. They're involved in befriending people for Christ.
Right.
And those relationships help build stronger, deeper embraces of God's love in each other than what you would get by just going through a program. You and I were discussing off air prior to coming on about some of the problems with the way that some of our Catholic families envision their role. So, for example, in catechetical training, one of the biggest problems is there isn't an understanding of a lifetime of catechesis. Parents will often bring their children for third and fourth grade or second and third grade to get their training for their sacraments, and then they're gone until confirmation. And then by that time,
and only a percentage of those come back.
Well, and therein lies the problem. You've laid the groundwork for saying these are things to achieve instead of things to be lived. It's almost like you're graduating. And the funny thing is, it's like you're graduating out of the Catholic Church by the time you're done. You know, the standard joke was always, there was a joke that I heard told by a priest when I was doing canon law up at Catholic U. And I know I've used it on the air before, but it's about the priest, the rabbi, and the Protestant minister in this New England town. And they all had the same problem. They had bats in their attics, and they couldn't get rid of them for years. They tried everything, and then one day they all met for golf on Wednesday, and the priest said, I solved my problem. I got rid of all the bats. And they all were astounded. How'd you do that? Well, I finally got smart. I brought all the bats down. I baptized and confirmed them, and they haven't been back to my church since. Now, it's a dark joke, but it's so true, partly because we've developed this culture where a number, by no means all, but a number of Catholic families have taken this approach where we're going to get our sacraments and we're going to do our Catholic duty most Sundays. But it's almost as if it's a lifestyle, not a faith, not a transformation.
The attitude is out there that I come to the church to get my needs met, and that it's just another service, like a hamburger stand on the corner or a...
You get your six-pack of grace and go.
Yeah, or a supermarket. And really, I think the direction that we need to go with faith formation is that maybe we need to market it and tell people really what we're up to, that it is a lifelong process of becoming a disciple and living the gospel. And that requires not just a hoop to jump through, but a decision for life.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Father Gerald Horan. We've been talking about evangelization, specifically about this conference of really millennial-aged young people. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your thoughts, Father, on how we as Catholics in the Diocese of Orange can go about evangelizing. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, and we're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, which in and of itself is a huge evangelism tool. One of the things that a lot of us who have only discovered Catholic radio in Southern California recently may not remember is that there was a long time when we didn't really have a Catholic radio station out here in Southern California anywhere. We had a brief time where there was an attempt by a group of people. I know Father Fessio tried to come up with radio stations, and it didn't quite hold. And I have been working with St. Joseph Radio for quite some time as their West Coast director, but prior to that as just a broadcaster, a radio host with them. And I remember we would buy radio time on different radio stations in order to be able to broadcast. And then, of course, EWTN and their stations, and now these other radio stations that have come along, have all become important evangelization tools. Because just like what we're doing right now, Father, we're able to talk about not just our own faith, but about strategy for the church to bring Christ more presently to the people around us. And so this broadcast is heard in San Diego, Los Angeles, and of course Orange, but Riverside, San Bernardino, all the way out to Goleta and up the coast a little ways to Ventura. Anywhere that those two radio stations can be heard, we've got millions of potential listeners. And then, of course, we're carried as well by podcast on our website at OC Catholic Radio, if for anyone who wants to turn anyone on to what we're saying. What's amazing, though, to me, and we were talking about this, and you were talking about this as well, is how the young people, you had 13,000 young people show up for this, enthusiastically show up for this. And I was talking to a young millennial not that long ago who is in Catholic ministry. She does youth ministry. And she was talking about how the millennials are searching for grounding and meaning. And they're either going to find that by leaving the Catholic faith for something else, or a lot of them are taking a very, what you would almost describe as a conservative tact toward their faith. And they're wanting to have that structure. They're wanting to have, for very positive reasons, they want to have that faith. And what I'm hearing from a conference like this is quite encouraging that it's really catching on.
Well, and there is a tendency, especially when we don't, I might be more shy about using the word conservative and prefer the word traditional, but the things that are tangible are easier and maybe a little bit more fulfilling to the newbie, if you want.
There's two tacks to that. I mean, there's some statistics that have come out that I saw not long ago, I think through CARA, which is an organization run through Georgetown that does a lot of their research, much like what Pew does. And they were talking about the different groups within Catholic faith that are growing and those that are declining. And those that have taken, and I will use the term traditional to describe something that goes back to traditional practice in its focus, and conservative to describe something that theologically or philosophically harkens to a traditional understanding of God, more or less a traditional Thomistic understanding, as opposed to some of the more modern, more recent philosophies that have come into play. And those that have taken on some of the more traditions, especially the habits, so Daughters of St. Paul and some of those groups, they're young, they're attracting youth, and they're growing. And some of the older organizations that in the 1960s left the habit, left some of the more conservative traditional practices, I mean, forget about the theology for a moment, they're declining. And we see this not just in the Catholic faith. We see this in amongst mainline churches as well. Those that have taken a more theologically liberal stance, their numbers consistently are shrinking. I remember when I was in Presbyterian seminary, we were watching the decline lines. The joke there was, with the last person out of the Presbyterian church somewhere around 2025, would you please turn off the lights when you leave? The numbers were shrinking, and yet the more evangelical groups were growing. And you can make the case, perhaps, that it's simpler and therefore more comforting to have a conservative theology, and it's more comforting to have a more traditional set of practices. But you can also perhaps make the case that there's a surety that's worth dying for. And to give up your life, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would say, good Lutheran that he was, that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die to his old life so that he can take on the new life, which seems to be, for so many people, the impetus for evangelization. That these young people are seeing the depth of their call so much more keenly than what is the standard. You come to church every Sunday and you get your six-pack of grace and go. These 13,000 people you described, I'm very excited about. Sounds like it's a wonderful
start. In fact, one of the most profound parts of the conference that I went to was on Thursday night, they had confession, the opportunity for the sacrament of reconciliation, and I have never participated in a penance service this big. There were, wow. I would say, it wasn't all of the priests, but I would say there were at least 200 confessors.
Wow.
And we were working from, it was scheduled from 8 to 11. I didn't get out of there until a quarter to 12 at night. So that was 3 hours and 45
wow.
minutes straight of hearing confessions, and not trivial ones,
right,
or people who went last week. These were young people who really were grappling with the questions and the content that they were hearing through the day and saying, what does that mean for me? And how do I take that home?
What a privilege.
You know, this talk that I heard really made me think, and I need to make some decisions in my life. That was quite an amazing experience.
The depth that you're describing is thrilling.
Yes.
I mean, I obviously have never been a confessor, but it has to be, when you're just doing the regular confessor Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, you have your regulars that come through and they're there every week or they're there every 2 weeks, and they come, they're saying the same thing the same way. And it sounds like what you described are people who are really struggling with their holiness, with their call, with their devotion, with their ministry, with their life.
Well, and I think in a experiential way, like when you plan a retreat or something, I think the conference was designed to lead them to that special sacramental moment. You know, the first 2 days were basically sowing seeds, getting them to think, engaging them in realities, trying to prompt a bit of reflection. You know, who am I? Where's my life going? Am I really on track? So by Thursday, they were ready for a little challenge. And so Thursday evening was when they had the penance service. And it was, as I said, it was really a profound time. But this huge, not even gymnasium, convention center sized facility with 200 confession stations there. And then there were other young people managing the traffic flow. And whenever a confessor was free,
hold up your number.
they were directing somebody over to your availability. They really moved them.
No rest for the weary. What was the reaction of the 65-ish missionaries from our area to this conference?
Well, you know, at the end of the conference, just before we left, we had sort of a reflection session. Our Cal State Fullerton missionaries got all of our people together in a room and asked them to reflect and maybe share a little bit. One guy said that when they were leaving California, he said he kind of had gotten swept up in it, and he was looking for one of the rest stops so he could catch an Uber back home. And he said, but he spoke about how transforming the experience of the conference was, that what he found there made him stop and think. It touched his heart. And he was thanking God that he didn't find that Uber, that he kept on going. And so I heard in his testimony or statement a real sense of or story of conversion.
So these are young people that have come from some of our universities in the Diocese of Orange, and now they're going back into their university settings. What impact do you hope this will have into their settings, into their ministry, into their lives?
Well, I think the clear hope is that, in the long term, that it'll affect their lives, that they'll enter into fulfilling marriages and careers, and that in those contexts, they will live the life of Catholic discipleship and moral decision-making. In the shorter term, I hope that they will overflow, reach out, draw more people into the ministries that are established both at both of those universities.
I find few things to be more inviting than an enthusiastic spirit.
Right.
And if you've got these 65 or so little Apostle Pauls running around our universities, we have a lot of hope that we could have some conversions taking place.
Well, it starts with humble beginnings, and the church grows one by one. So the invitation is where it begins.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. When we come back, Father, I want to talk directly about where we go from here. We'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Oh, Jesus, I want to tell all little souls how indescribable is your love.
Meet St. Therese, the little flower, in a live performance that speaks to all ages.
I will send down a shower of roses.
Experience Therese, the story of a soul, a powerful live production.
See it at Christ Cathedral's Fried Theater in Garden Grove. Three performances only. January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Visit ccdramaseries.com for tickets and information. That's ccdramaseries.com.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today has been Father Gerald Horan. And Father, one of the wonderful things I like about having you on is that you're always so willing to be honest and open about where your head is. And you've been so great at describing how you've interpreted the impact of this conference we were talking about on Focus. 13,000 young people in San Antonio, Texas, and we had 65 or so that went from our diocese that came back and now are what I called little Apostle Pauls running around our campuses. But that's the hope. But what about our diocese? We had a whole show that we did not long ago on the grand master plan for the diocese. What is the plan for that specifically tied to not just faith formation, but specifically evangelization? What's the vision, do you think, that Bishop Van has for us to be able to evangelize those around us?
Well, I think his hope and his plan is to draw more into the family of Christ, the family of faith, and to make certain that people feel both welcomed and accompanied in their faith journey. Later this month, here in the diocese, we'll have an evangelization summit, a three-day meeting, and every parish in the diocese has been invited to send an eight-person team to participate in this three-day reflection. So, and it, because, you know, the work of evangelization, it starts with me. You know, does the gospel resonate? Do I believe that? Can I make the commitment of faith? And we spoke earlier that, you know, a lot of people are in our churches, in our pews, you know, they plant themselves on the end of the pew. They say,
they put down roots.
that's fine if other people come. Don't ask me to move. Who's that in my parking space? And
their faith is very, very transactional and self-centered
and territorial. Yeah. And so we need to start really with ourselves and to create a wider view. So the purpose of the Evangelization Summit is to invite a core team in each parish to say what's standing in the way for us of being an effective team. So it really starts with personal reflection. So 2 days of that, and then of real deep reflection for the group and some strategizing about how they as a team can grow closer, more honest, more effective. The third day of the summit meeting will be a showcase of evangelization programs and opportunities that can be implemented at the parish level. And, there's a variety of programs that fit the bill, and we're making 10 or 15 of them available, and they'll have short presentations and Q&A sessions for the members of the team so that they can begin to discern within their parish group what is the best way to affect or to implement an evangelization, the reaching out within their own community.
You know, one of the things that I don't know that a lot of people realize is that some of the techniques of evangelization that have been used in the past really are not very effective. So going out on the street corners doesn't work very well. Approaching people who you don't know doesn't work very well. What seems to work best over time is relationship that you build.
Certainly. And it may not be that it doesn't work well in some objective sense, but it may not be the right fit for the people I'm trying to talk to now. Standing on the street corner might have worked fine for Paul at the Areopagus, but is it going to work in the 21st century in Newport Beach? I don't know. Maybe. But, and that's why, you know, our diocese is formed of 62 parishes and religious centers, and each one of them needs to, as they do this team building, reflect on what's going to be a good fit for our demographic and our type of people. What's an effective way to make the message known? As you say, it does start with a relationship, and so they need to be invited to a relationship that helps them to go deeper, to look within, and to be in touch with God.
We were talking before about how the focus ministers that we have in our diocese, we have three of them, as I recall. Or at least we had three that were...
We had three here when we did the interview, but actually we have two teams. I think there are four at UCI and five at Cal State Fullerton. So we've actually got eight focus ministers in the diocese, and Focus actually has a new program where they're putting missionaries into parish settings.
Oh, good.
And St. Irenaeus Parish in Cyprus is a pilot in that special program.
What's so wonderful about the Focus program, these are college-age students or college-aged ministers. These people have already completed their degree and have had training in order to do this, but they basically are befriending one person at a time and getting them to develop relationships in Christ, relationships with friendships, relationships that help edify, relationships that help build social structure, so that there's not just have you given your life to Jesus, but giving your life to your friendships in Jesus, which really is in keeping with what I think our Holy Father talks about, which he talks about in a number of different settings, about accompaniment. Are we accompanying the people around us? Are we walking with them? Are we going along the way with the people? We used to be called many, many, many centuries ago, People of the Way. That was our first title. People of the road, of the journey. Are we journeying with the people around us? And that seems to be that local, that focus, the parish level. As you put it, you've got core teams that are going to be invited in for this event at the end of the month, where they're going to have the opportunity to discern how best to accomplish that in their own local settings.
And the process of being converted isn't just making an intellectual decision and saying, okay, now that's what I think. It's what you're talking about buying into a community of faith and being committed to going along the way with other Christians. And so because the Catholic Christian way is one that's lived in the communal experience of Christ and grace and sacrament.
That, you know, I was just studying again some of the material from Augustine, and he was relating the story of, in his Confessions, of a young Christian who asked the question, do I really need these walls? What do I need the walls for? Mm-hmm. Well, you need the walls in order to have the baptism, which brings us into relationship with Christ. It is both a supernatural relationship and a communal relationship with each other.
And that can be a hard sell to kids today, because they're inclined, the statistics tell us, to mistrust the institution. That a millennial trend that's suggested is that, you know, that they kind of are looking, what's in it for me? And so what's my benefit? What's my payback? And so this is calling them to a deeper commitment and engagement, not just for what I can get, but for what I can give.
What's wonderful about the Focus program that you were discussing is that these are millennials talking to millennials. So when you talk about trusting, they're not trusting some old person like me. They're trusting people that are of their same generation, of their same age.
A few of the speakers were old. Lou Holtz was one of the speakers. I'm not calling him old, but older. And you know, several of the speakers were more mature, but some of them were, and some were very young. It was a great variety.
Well, I'm glad that it was so inspiring to you. 13,000 young people coming from across the nation, hundreds of priests and dozens of bishops to be able to all come together for one cause of reminding each other of this deep, life-consuming and empowering call. To be one with Christ means to reach out to the people around us and to invite them in generously to that relationship that you've been so blessed with, to bring other people into that in an exciting sort of a way. So thank you, Father, so very much for sharing that with us. In a couple of weeks, I'd like to get some update on how that gathering goes, where we have the people from
the summit. Yeah,
the summit.
For sure.
So that we can hear a little bit more. I'm sure we'll be encouraging thoughts on and some observations on how we do that. Would you be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer and a blessing for our audience?
Praise be you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation that you bring into the world every day. You're touching lives and hearts and transforming the experience of your beloved people. Look upon us and our listeners. Allow us to be touched by your word and allow us to be changed by what we hear, so that we might be strengthened in your grace to live what we believe. May Almighty God bless all who are listening with us, reflecting with us, and praying. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Father Gerald Horan. Thank you, Father, for coming in and spending this time with us. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and I want to thank all of our listening audience for tuning in. If you like the broadcast or any of the broadcasts that we have had before, you can go to OC Catholic Radio, and you can download the podcast and listen anytime you would like to. Otherwise, we will see you again next week.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.